Connection through conversation. Join self-described conversationalist Stacy Heller as she talks with guests about topics and ideas that are sometimes informational, sometimes inspirational, and always entertaining on Stacy Connects.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Stacy Heller, and this is Stacy Connects. Today, I am actually recording live from Veranda Beach, which is, if you're a longtime listener, then you know that a few years ago, we did not get a pandemic puppy. We got a pandemic lake house. So my guest today is Lisa Hammond, and she is really at the core of how this whole thing started. But we'll get into that in a little while. Welcome to Lisa.
Thank you very much.
Of course. So for those of you that are new, this show is all about making connections through conversation. It's about asking questions instead of making assumptions. And it is about engaging with the elephant in any room. I love to just hit that right off the bat. Whether you listen live or you listen later via podcast, I so appreciate you listening. If you haven't already, consider subscribing, maybe even leave a comment, just a small favor from me. If you want to chat live, you can call 425-373-5527. That's the number that my mother always calls. She's pretty much the only one that's ever called in. So if you want to break her one woman streak of 2.5 years, then please feel free to call. Again, the number is 425-373-5527. Otherwise, feel free to shoot me a text, or you can call and leave a voicemail at 475-999-2726. Now, of course, I'm not saying that I don't appreciate mom's input weekly. I love that she has thoughts on the show and the guests, and she's always very complimentary. But at this point, I'm a little bitter that the reason that she calls in is to say hi to Eric. I mean, like, let's call a spade a spade. Anyway, so I mentioned that my guest today is Lisa Hammond. So Lisa and her husband, Jim, Veranda Beach, the resort, was really their brainchild. I met with somebody yesterday, and he was talking about me and referring to what I do as being like an Imagineer versus an engineer. And Lisa and Jim, I would say, are both Imagineers and engineers, because you have the idea and then you actually make it happen. That's where I fall down on the job. I'm not so good at making things happen all the time.
Well, we try.
You do an amazing job. And again, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But so last week, I had to run a rerun because I had a sty, and I was pretty convinced that I also had pink eye. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. I've never had a sty before. Grace, my daughter, has had multiple, and I did not know how painful it could be. And I went into the eye doctor, and I had gone into urgent care to make sure it wasn't pink eye. And they said, nope, it's a sty. Here's some drops, warm compresses, and here's a antibiotic. So I was like, great. Then I knew I was coming up to Veranda Beach, and I thought, this isn't going away. It's getting worse. So I went to the eye doctor, and he said, those drops that they give you, they're trash. Don't bother.
Oh,
which I thought was interesting. It was some drop that apparently is going to clear it up. He's like, that's not what clears it up. It's basically you're getting an oil duct in your eyelid that is filled, and it somehow gets, you know, plugged, and then it can get infected. He's like, honestly, the best thing that you can do is a warm, well, hot compress 2 or 3 times a day to open it up. Your eyes will drain overnight. So you'll probably wake up wondering if you have pink eye. You don't. It's just that it's been draining. Wipe it off. Don't touch it. Don't spread it. And it should be fine. And then if it's not, then antibiotics may come into play. Well, mine, because I'm in select sty, so I get the extra treatment. I had to do the antibiotics, and it was giving me headaches because the sty was so big, it was pressing on my eyeball, giving me a tension headache.
Wow.
It was terrible.
I remember as a girl in school, elementary school, kids having styes all the time. I never got one, but there was always somebody in the class with a sty. And I mentioned this just recently that I hadn't seen a sty in years. And now you tell me this.
Here I am.
They're not a thing of the past.
They are not a thing of the past. And it was every time I go through something or I have some affliction that I've never had before, I have new respect for people that deal with these things on a regular basis. I mean, the whole like walk a mile in someone else's shoes is really a thing. Because, you know, I'm like, wow, this is terrible. But I've survived. And we came up here to Veranda Beach. And so I'm super excited. The other very exciting things that are happening in my life right now, apparently I have tapped out of being an adult at home in Issaquah. So neither Pete nor I at this point, after being together for 31 years, I think it's 32 in June, four kids, a lot of dinners that we've made at home, neither of us have any desire to cook anymore. And we've got Grace living at home with us for a few more months until she moves to New York. Charlie is still in college, so he's in and out since he's at a local college. And we found that we were putting on weight because we were eating out or taking out or just not eating a good dinner. So we hired this gal, her name is Amber. She was recommended by actually Dr. Erica Wood, who's our doctor. And she comes into your home with the groceries and she cooks in your house all day. So you get the smells and she uses your stuff in your containers and she makes these unbelievable dinners. And so
does she come every day or once a week?
She comes once a week and you can decide how many meals you want. And so, you know, we started the first week, like four different meals for three people. And that really serves four of us, you know, depending on who's home. And I just sort of sat at the counter like mesmerized with the efficiency and deftness with which she did this cooking. And every meal that we've had is amazing.
It hasn't sparked your desire to cook again?
No, it has it has sparked my desire to eat again and to eat at home. Because
and eat well.
And eat well, which is the whole point of it. And the meals are unbelievable. And we knew we were going to be up here in Veranda this week. And you know, so Pete said, well, I don't think we're going to need you next week. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Bring it with you.
Well, she came yesterday. I guess she worked yesterday, which was Memorial Day. And I'm like, they can go in the refrigerator. They last for a week and we'll be home. We're going home tomorrow. And so I'm like, call off Amber. So Amber's my new favorite thing. And Pete has this line that he uses occasionally where he's like, I am 60 years old, for God's sakes. There are certain things that I don't want to do anymore and I will find the money for. And Amber is now one of them.
I congratulate you both. I think that's cool.
It's so awesome. And then it does make us want to cook on the days when we don't have something from her. We're very inspired.
To do that now.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So then the other thing that I did is I found a laundry service that I can send out. This is amazing. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm just getting rid of everything now. A laundry service that I can send my sheets. And if I wanted my towels, but I really like a fluffy towel from home. And like my skivvies, I'm not going to send my underwear and intimates and stuff, but all the other stuff. And it comes back within 48 hours, all folded and neat.
Do they press your sheets?
Yep.
Oh gosh, there's nothing nicer than crawling in the sheets that have been ironed. They are
amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing. So mom, when she visits, she loves doing laundry. I mean, the woman is like, are you still wearing that? And she is like, you know, grabbing.
Does she iron your sheets though?
She does not iron my sheets. But she used to, when I was growing up, she would go into the basement and she would take her doers on the rocks with a splash of water. And she would go downstairs and iron to get away from all of us because
it's mental health time.
Right. Yeah. We weren't going to follow her to the basement. We might have to do something. Ooh. Also, it was scary.
Scary
down there.
Though.
Thank you. So anyway, I am so excited and I've arranged for it to happen every other week. And they do it by the pound. So it's $2.60 per pound of laundry. So
wow.
Right?
So the little silk blouses that weigh nothing, that are so hard to wash and iron, cost you nothing to get clean.
Basically.
And Honey's old dirty jeans that weigh a pound and a half.
Yep.
you can just throw them in the washer.
Totally.
Because that's easy.
Totally. And you can pick, any, if you have any special requests within reason, if you want a fabric softener, if you don't want one, if you want, which deodorant or detergent rather you want, all those kinds of things. They have like a menu that you choose.
Do they pick up at your house or do you deliver?
Yes.
Oh my.
Yes.
Oh wow.
Right? Oh, it's a whole new world. I need that Disney song. A whole new world. Yeah, exactly. So
I don't think that happens in Orville.
But somebody could start that.
True.
I mean, at least for the summer months, somebody.
Wow.
Very entrepreneurial I am.
You're giving me little ideas already.
Right? I mean, who doesn't want to not have to do that and, whatever. Anyway, we'll talk.
Like I need more work.
Well, yes. Yeah.
But we'll talk.
But you have this entrepreneurial spirit like I do,
and
where
I have
it's
the facilities to do it
and
I have the staff.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, it would be a nice service that it's like returned and, you're done. So again, we'll talk. Also Memorial Day. It's interesting celebrating Memorial Day on the West Coast versus the East Coast for two reasons. One, Memorial Day on the East Coast is very much the start of summer. Long weekend parades. The weather is pretty much consistently going to be sunny and gorgeous. Pools are open. People can swim. Now, on the West Coast, our experience is that you might have a nice Memorial Day and then you go into January.
Yes, January.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is a bizarre thing for us. And then the second thing that is different is that on the East Coast, there is much more awareness about the real meaning of Memorial Day. And acknowledging the sacrifices that so many veterans and people in the military have made.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I'm not really sure what it is. It's just something that I really noticed with all of the parades, both between growing up and raising our kids in Connecticut,
Well, all the big cities back east, New York, Boston, Chicago.
Yeah, but I'm talking little towns, yes, all up and down.
They have large memorials and museums. And
true.
They have, you've got Washington, and it's all within a couple of thousand miles of each other. In the West Coast, you've got, LA, San Francisco, and then a big jump to Portland, and a big, big, big jump to Seattle.
That's true.
That if to go to a big, big parade when you were a little girl or something, you would
few and far between.
Yeah, you just go to your little local.
Yeah, right. It's just an interesting thing. And so I work with a few people, and I know a few people through my networking group. Specifically, I can think of Kathy Lewis, who's been a guest on my show, and Tracy Franks. Both of them have served. They're still alive, thank God. But thank you to them for their service and to all those other people that have served and perhaps lost somebody that served. So I just want to acknowledge that. Okay, my Stacyism for today. I had a session with Pete Connolly, who also has been a guest on my show. I mean, anybody that comes on my show, I'm like, you've got an interesting service. Let me use this. Or I use their service and I think you're interesting. Come on my show. Anyway, Pete does acute massage therapy. And whenever I go in there, I'm always thinking like, oh, this is going to be great. He's going to ease the tension and whatever. And then he ends up, like cradling me and not doing a traditional massage. And instead he's cradling my inner child, having me cry.
Oh dear.
And I'm like, ugh. Anyway, this last session, sure enough, he's like, what are you doing? And I said, I'm digging. I'm at a beach and I'm digging and I'm trying to get all this stuff out. And he said, what's the stuff? I'm like, I don't know. It's just the stuff that's bad. And so I'm digging it all out. And he said, well, how long have you been digging? And I'm like, how old am I? I'm like, 53 years. And he said, so is the stuff out? I'm like, the stuff is long since out. And now the hole is caving in on itself. And things just keep falling into the hole. Which
are you
makes
filling
me,
that hole in the bottom, or you mean it's filling in after you?
It fills in like I'm not in the hole. I'm like pulling the stuff out.
Ah, okay.
And then what happens is at a certain point, everything starts to fill in. And so then you're now just trying to dig. So my whole point about this, my Stacyism, is that sometimes when you're digging a hole for yourself, it's just going to keep filling in on itself. Or if you think you're trying to extract something, be aware not to extract too much, because again, if you get too much in there, then it's just going to cave in and it's going to basically work against you instead of for you. So like, know when to stop. So I've given my inner Stacy the rest of her life off. She no longer has to dig. And so when I got here to Veranda, I was like, now we need to build. Forget digging. Now let's build something. So anyway, which is a perfect segue. Let's take a break here. And then when we come back, I'm going to talk to Lisa about how she and Jim basically built their dream and made it a reality. So keep listening to Stacy Connects. I will be right back.
Do you feel like you're stuck in a style rut? If so, take the first step on your journey and go to michaelbruceimageconsulting.com. Fill out their simple personal style assessment and schedule a complimentary, no obligation, 20-minute style consultation. Let the experts help you gain some perspective on your style challenges.
Stacy Connects, it's not just my business, it's my superpower. Whether you need the right tone and messaging for a new venture, or you've plateaued with your current one, I can help. I connect clients with themselves and their potential. Then I identify unique solutions that translate your brand into messaging that connects your target audience with your business. Go to stacyconnects.com to connect with me and your messaging.
Don't let that herd mentality lead you off a cliff. We support Thinking for Yourself on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Stacy Connects. I am Stacy Heller. My guest is Lisa Hammond today. So before the break, I shared that Lisa and her husband, Jim Hammond, they had this, I described them as Imagineers and Engineers simultaneously. And I want Lisa to share that, but I want to give listeners some context on how we were introduced to Veranda Beach. So back in July 2020, the world was in a pandemic. We had for several years prior gone to Campbell's in Chelan with a couple of other family friends. And, you know, here we were looking down the barrel of July 4th spent in what is always a petri dish, let alone during a pandemic. And we just thought, no, we're not going to do that. And so we canceled our reservation with not a lot of time. And Pete and I went to separate corners and we said, let's see if we can find a place to rent where it's just the family, but it's someplace that has that vibe. It's sunny by a lake. We can be on our own and not interact with a ton of other people. So we both found independently Veranda Beach. Now, his response was, oh my gosh, this place is like the Truman Show. I feel like, you know, if we take a boat to the end of the lake, it's going to be like a set or something. Now, my take on it was growing up on the East Coast, I'm thinking like Poconos and things like that. And so that's a good thing, but I'm also thinking Dirty Dancing. And I'm thinking, I do not want to have to take a rumba lesson in the gazebo or, you know, whatever it is. We're trying to get away from people. So then fast forward a couple of days and I'm chatting with our neighbor and friend, Jennifer Harris, and she and I were serving on our networking group board together. And she said, what are you doing for the 4th? And I said, we're trying to find a place. We found this place, Veranda Beach. And she smacked me and said, shut up. We just put an offer on a place there. Now, I have admitted this to Jennifer, and I will admit it for all of my listeners. I was like, well, if Jennifer and Lee Harris can find a place there, then we have to go. I totally had FOMO. I haven't had it often, but I did not want to miss out. I wanted to know what this was. So we rented at the very last minute. We arrived at, because our kids are older, we left at 9 o'clock at night. We arrived at like 2 a.m. because we didn't know where we were going. And the next morning, I still have the video in my Dropbox on my phone. I get up before anyone else and I walk down on the veranda and I'm like, am I in a Disney movie? The birds are chirping. The sun is shining. The breeze is going. It's sunny. It's charming. All the houses are in these lovely colors with verandas, and the window boxes are just overflowing with beautiful, colorful flowers. I mean, it was like, now, I don't know if you know this, the house that we rented was the house that we ended up buying.
Yes, I knew that.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, a couple of days in, we ended up going and looking at another house, and, you know, we were like, all right, we're not ready to do something. And then because Jennifer was kind of on the ground with her house, we said to her sister, who she used as her agent, hey, if you hear about a house coming up for sale, let us know. Lo and behold, a few weeks later, found out that this house that we had rented was coming up for sale. And we got all of our ducks in a row so that when it went on the market, we would be able to make an offer, lickety split. We did. And now here we are.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
What a great addition to Veranda Beach.
Well, you're very kind. So we love it, love it, love it. I balked at the beginning and then, you know, got here and was like, oh, we're going to have a house here. So I have a little bit of that Imagineer thing. So share the story of how this came to be.
Well, Jim and I met in the mid 1990s. We've been together 30 years. We lived together for 10 before we got married, just to make sure it was right. But we both had grown up with summer cottages.
Okay.
And
family in Canada.
In Canada. We're both Canadians. Jim from the prairies and I'm from the East Coast, or Central Ontario. I say that's East, but the people in Newfoundland would shoot me for that. So Ontario. But we had cottages, and we spent summers at the cottage with the screen door slamming and playing cards on the veranda and swimming until you were burned and couldn't move from get out of the water. And I had a tent trailer that Jim and I were camping in, that when I met Jim, I came with the tent trailer and 2 kids and a dog. And I still loved it, and the kids still loved it. But Jim wasn't the biggest fan of putting this thing up and down. And he said to me, why don't we look for property or buy a cottage? And we thought, well, yeah, that sounds good. I could do that. And we have a girlfriend that I'd sold real estate with up in Prince George with Remax when I was selling real estate. And she phoned us and said, Lisa, I've found not a cottage, but I've found this piece of property. She said, my chiropractor kayaks. And on Sunday, he kayaks. This is from Osoyoos, Canada. He kayaks down the lake, because the Osoyoos Lake straddles both Canada and United States. And he beaches it on a beautiful, beautiful 1¼-mile sand beach that's completely vacant. But he says there's a for sale sign on it. Would you like to go see it? So Jim and I thought,
would we?
Would we? Would we? So off we go. We get in our car. We come down and we meet the agent in Oroville that has got it for sale. And there's no road coming down the hill. We're standing at the top of the hill looking down. And it had been the locals' party beach, you know, high school.
Sure.
You get daddy's boat, you get in the boat and you come across and you'd come to this beach and you'd party and you know.
You couldn't get there from the road.
No,
so
there are no roads.
So that's perfect.
Perfect. A bush party. So it had a lot of history, but we climbed all the way down to the bottom and looked at all this. And like I say, 1¼ miles of white sand beach. A beautiful water beach where you can walk in slowly. It's not got a drop off. And this flat peninsula sticking out. And we didn't want to show too much excitement. So we looked and didn't say much and got back and climbed back up, got in our car and left. And the first thing Jim said to me was, well, what do you think? And I just exploded with excitement. I couldn't believe it, both of us. But we didn't want to show too much excitement for the realtor until we bought it. Well, ended up that Jim knew the fellow who owned the land. He was a Canadian from Kelowna. We were from Kelowna.
Okay.
But so it took a while to get the offer through and so on and do all the paperwork, and then another couple of years to get the permits and so on. But we had done a plan similar to this in Lake Country on Okanagan Lake.
Okay.
And we'd bought the land, and it had gone to the third reading with the council, and they wouldn't rezone the land.
Ugh.
It had been... there was a provincial park, a small one in the center, and the land around it, they didn't want it to become commercialized residential. So they voted no on it. But we had done all the background work. We had the architectural plans. We had the drawings. We had the start of the vision,
mm-hmm.
and it had gone on to hold. And then when we found this piece of land, we could not buy it.
It's like a little jewel. I mean, you come in and, you know, there's really only one way to go.
There's only one road in.
And you look down and you've now planted vineyards.
12 acres of grapes.
And, you know, so that's beautiful to look at. And then you see the lake that's like this sparkling little jewel.
Warmest lake in Canada.
And Washington.
I've never checked the facts.
It
in
is.
Washington. Okay.
It is. It's the warmest lake in Washington because we did.
Yeah.
Because we're like, well.
Compared to Chelan, it's like a bathtub.
Oh, compared to Chelan, everything is a bathtub.
Yeah.
Chelan is freezing.
Freezing.
And, you know, the vision that you had, I mean, there's the houses that are on the green that are close to the water. Then there's access for people that are, it's like these little streets where people don't park in the middle of the road so that kids can skateboard, bike, walk, scooter,
hopscotch.
Yeah. There's a parking area in the back. I mean, you've got.
Well, we wanted the word new urbanism comes up. That's the new fancy term for it. But we just wanted a pedestrian friendly, kid friendly neighborhood where you could run out your back door and play,
mm-hmm.
and you know, sort of come home when the street lights come on attitude. The screen doors aren't locked. When we were kids, we could play outside and play on the street and do hopscotch. There wasn't as much vehicle traffic.
Right.
You know, everyone has a car. Our families have 3, 4, 5 cars now, whereas in the day they'd have one.
Sure.
If they were wealthy enough to have one. So we created an area where you'd come, you'd drop off your parcels, your food, your groceries, and the children and everything. And then the cars were parked so that they weren't needed,
right.
Probably for like, 4, 5, 6 days.
Sure.
Unless,
it's like putting your phone down and your car down. How nice to not
unplug it.
Right.
And, you know, you said earlier you arrived at 2 a.m. the first time. Well, how would you like to be asleep at the cottage that you've rented for a beautiful long weekend and have someone's diesel truck pull up at 2 a.m. and start and leave it running and or start it up because they have a long drive to go home at 6 a.m. and get going. So we just didn't want that type of traffic congesting the streets and mm-hmm. so on. And then the second thing we did was with the architects designed the whole community to have green spaces. We don't have any backyard fencing. Your backyard is a common property that everybody enjoys.
Mm-hmm.
We could have done double, triple the density for residential houses down here, and it wouldn't be near what it is today. Well, it wouldn't be as enjoyed as much as it is today.
Will you talk about the idea of like the new urban, what did you call it?
Urbanism.
Yes. And what's interesting is that it's like, it's a callback to the old days, right?
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, the houses aren't huge, but they don't need to be because these days, the bigger your house, the easier it is to disconnect from each other mm-hmm. and get lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it also is bringing the outdoors in with the verandas, and every home has an L-shaped veranda so that you can sit outside and eat. Somebody this summer has 2 bunk beds on their veranda.
Oh, sure. When I was so a kid in the cottage we had, sleeping on the veranda was the best part because we didn't have air conditioning in the 60s.
Right.
Not in the cottages I went to. Anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, people have their beds set up or they have like a little couch area or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and it's screened in and, you know, it's lovely. So you're bringing the outdoors in, and then the shared green space, you know, where we are, we can have one family that is playing cornhole, and then we can have a couple teenagers that are playing catch, and there's
lacrosse,
plenty of room.
And bocce, and badminton, and t-ball. The little, my grandson's been here, and that's his first t-ball game, was on the green space. And next thing you know, kids are popping out of cottages saying, "Can I play too? Can I play too?"
It's which is wonderful. Teaching kids how to socialize.
Yes, which being unplugged
totally. And the diner opened this past weekend, and you know, watching the kids kind of come back together that were here for the long weekend. Like, oh, hey, what year in school are you now? Like, what's your name again? And they just get into that cadence where, you know, they are not on their phones. They're not looking down. They're looking out to interact with people. And they really can't go very far.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little story about would have been your neighbor right here on your left. They've moved. Their kids have grown up and gone to, life changes. They go to university and they're gone. But when they were little, when Jack was just a little one, he finally was allowed to walk to my little store on his own one day.
Okay.
And he was about 3 and a half, and he had 25 cents. And mom and dad actually, they texted me at the store and said, he's on his way. And they followed in the shadows to make sure he got there.
Sure.
And in he comes and he has his 25 cents to buy his goodies. And what I used to love doing was helping them learn how to count with giving them their change, how much does something cost? And that's a nickel and that's a dime, and that'll buy you a piece of gummy bear if, you know, you want two pieces or something and so forth. Anyway, his parents came in afterwards, just tickled pink that Jack had made it to the store and back all by himself. And he was so proud of himself. And she said to me, at home, we drive him to school. We live in a gated community. We have a nanny that picks him up if we're not there and stays with them at all times, playing outside. Hardly knows his neighbors. And unless it's an arranged play date, they don't go anywhere. And yet here, the kids just run around everywhere. And it's like a communal parenting. You get to know all the children by name and so on. And, you know, Jack was over at my house one day doing something, and I said, did your mom know where you are? And he said, oh yeah, she's baking cookies. She knows I'm with you. But we're watching out for each other's children because you start to see them in your own basically backyard. There's no huge privacy fence. It's right there in front of your window with these kids.
So it's one thing for you and Jim to have, you know, you grew up with this cottage culture, if you will, right? And you had this vision that, okay, you know, we're going to do this. And you saw this raw land and the potential. But it's so much more than just developing the land. I mean, you have anticipated, like, with the shared green spaces, with the parking in the back, with there's a diner. There is, you know, the boardwalk and the pool. There's the sort of the shared lawn where you've set up a volleyball net, like all of these things.
The movies.
Yeah.
The movies and so on.
I mean, all, you know, the fact that you have those movies and that there's the fire pit that is communal, that people can come and do that. And all the kids in the summer, all the teenagers, they all come and they hang out until the wee hours.
Oh, that's the first kiss is at the fire pit.
Oh, right.
Absolutely.
And you have changed and evolved with the times. Like now, if you have a electric car, you can charge a car. So
we have four charging stations.
I mean, how do you anticipate or see how that vision?
Well, I think you have to look at it from an unselfish point of view. It's not one person buying a home for X number of dollars and doing their own thing and creating their own personal paradise, which you can do on many lakes all over the world.
Sure.
People who buy here in, for the most part, I think are social.
Yes.
By nature. If they're not, they might find it a little bit too uncomfortable. Maybe, maybe not. I have no idea, but,
you can have the time, though, if you...
You can. You can quietly lie and have a nap on the veranda and read a book or sit in the swing. There's some wonderful quiet time. But things are designed here to create socialization. The fire pit on purpose was built by the playground and so on at the beach. And it was designed, we had the fire chief come and put, you know, it's dug way down. You wouldn't know it today because it's full of ash, but it's a culvert that went way, way down so that we could still burn it during fire bans because it was approved by the fire marshal.
Oh,
now, in the last few years with this terrible fires, nobody in their right mind would light a fire anyway. So of course we wouldn't do that, but if not, you would have everybody sitting at their house saying, well, I want to build a fire pit, or about every 15 feet down the beach. Like when I grew up, dad would go down, you know, to the beach, you get driftwood and start a fire. Well, by creating and building one at the beginning, you've already created a spot for people to go to.
Right.
By creating the big green space by the pool and room to put up a movie theater and or a screen and have outdoor showings and so on. It's just a natural place for people to come together and play kickball or monkey in the middle or whatever it is you want to play. They don't have to go looking for, they don't have to say, let's get in the car and go to the park so that we can have a game of Frisbee.
Right, right. And, you know, one of the things that we loved when we ended up renting is that, you know, we arrived and the house had all the amenities that we could need. You know, oh, you're out of propane? No problem. Go to the front office and you can get propane. Oh, you need ice? You know, because you're going to rent the pontoon boat that's at the marina? No problem. Come and get ice and you can have that. And then even the store, that's evolved over the years. That's been kind of one of your things that you do.
My little pet peeve.
Your little, I mean, well, and what I love is like the, you do the modern version of penny candy so that, you know, little Jack or the 2020
account with version, the dollar bill.
Yep. Can come and he can figure out like, okay, does he, how much bang for his buck does he want or what does he want? But then, you know, for the Stacys who are like, I need some pillows for my window seat. You have other items that, they're comfortable and they have the vibe. And so that's the thing that I think so impressed us is the culture, the, that feeling that permeates the entire property that after all these years, you've been able to keep that going.
Well, when we first opened, we had three show homes up by the three cottages at the front, but back onto the green space.
Okay.
The first one was the office with our sales team in it and so on, and, you know, photocopiers and all the real estate gear and so on and so forth, the back office per se. And then the next one was our most popular floor plan that sold, and probably because that's the one that was made into a show home. It's the Chris Craft, and it was furnished in the furniture that would come with the cottages and decorated. And on the TVs, because in those days there was no cable vision here.
Right.
We're in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So we had TVs put in the houses and VCRs.
Yep.
And we had a VCR playing on
loop.
On the loop.
Yep.
And it was the Andy Griffith Show.
That's amazing.
And we had people coming through and they'd come into the living room and see it on the TV set, sit down and watch the show and say, do you mind if we just finish watching this show? Because we haven't seen it since we were kids.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't get over it. We also piped music on the boardwalk and around the pool, and it was on XM radio, but it was the 50s station.
Yep. My mom's favorite. Shout out, Mom. 50s on five.
Yep. 50s on five. And the diner, we wanted to recreate the 50s diner where you had milkshakes, burgers, and fries. And I, to this day, still don't think we need much more than that, than a diner menu. I know every operator comes in and wants to put their own spin on it. And some have been absolutely fabulous. Some have tried. And, you know, I'm not sure it was the biggest hit or the best financial decision, even though it might have been. We've had some fabulous meals and winemakers' dinners and so on. But really, when you don't want to cook one night and you're at the cottage, it's like, well, let's go to the diner and have a burger and fries.
Right.
That's, or the kids, if mom and dad are saying, well, we're going to have steaks tonight and friends are coming over to play cards, you know, here's a couple of bucks. You go to the diner and you have a burger and fries and they're happy.
And the kids are fed and the mess is there.
And the pool's there and the music's on and they're in heaven.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
totally. I am very excited
from a personal standpoint, because Cassie and Brett, who operate the diner now, they have switched to Coke products.
Oh, yes. And he tried to convert me, and I'm a diehard Pepsi fan.
Well, and it's a taste thing.
I know,
right?
It's a thing.
And so I am so excited because I am a Diet Coke fan, and I would always have to like bring my cans and then get the ice from them. And, you know, I was like,
hey. The salesman came to me in the office and he said, Lisa, I know you have Pepsi in the store. How committed are you to Pepsi? And I said, well, when I was pregnant with my first child, who turned 40 a few weeks ago, I drank, it was summertime in Kelowna and I didn't have air conditioning, and I drank Diet Pepsi. And it's, to this day, is the only thing that quenches my thirst. I don't know what happened when I was pregnant, but
hey,
you get hooked on one or the other.
My mother drank scotch and smoked when she was pregnant with me. See how well I turned out?
Well, I think, I'm pretty sure my mom drank. She didn't smoke, but I'm pretty sure she had a drink when I was in her belly. But
I have a picture of my mother on her 30th birthday. Sorry, Mom. I know I tell this story a lot, but it's just so amazing. She's in this adorable little like sheath dress, maternity sheath dress. Mm-hmm. And she's got a ribbon in her hair. Her hair is kind of long. And she's got a glass in one hand and a cigarette in the other. And she's dancing on the table. And so that was around January 24th, 1970. And I was born on March 13th, 1970. So just weeks later.
I can't wait to meet your mom.
You
go, girl.
She is amazing. And she can still drink people under the table and on top. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting your mother.
There you go. All right. Let's take a quick break here. And then when we come back, I'm going to keep chatting with Lisa Hammond. And we're going to keep talking about Veranda Beach and how it came about.
Do you feel challenged by the thought of getting ready every day? Want to make a great first impression, but don't feel your wardrobe represents who you really are? Does the thought of trying to find great clothing that fits your body and lifestyle have you overwhelmed? Michael Bruce Image Consulting is a premier image consulting company that can help you get your style back on track. Contact them at michaelbruceimageconsulting.com or call them at 425-214-4155 and start that conversation today. Stacey Heller is many things, entertaining yet enlightening. She's a talk show host channeling her inner Fallon. Like Winston Wolfe, she's a fixer who gets things done with style. Practical, like Dr. Ruth. Stacey isn't afraid of the uncomfortable when searching for answers. She's your biggest fan and sees your potential before you do. Most of all, Stacey Heller is a synapse who can connect impulses and ideas about your business and yourself into possibility. To connect with Stacey, go to StaceyConnects.com. Stacey Connects. It's her superpower.
Alternative Talk, 1150 on AM, 98.9 HD3 on HD, 1150KKNW.com on the web.
Hello, welcome back to Stacey Connects. I am your host, Stacey Heller. I'm joined today by Lisa Hammond. We have been talking about Veranda Beach, which is where Pete and I purchased our lake house back in 2020. Honestly, we say to this day, best thing that we've ever done. Yesterday, we went in the lake for the first time for the season. And I found these really cool floaties that allow you to like have your feet draped over like one side. I'll show them to you later. And then you can kind of lean. And then I got this inflatable drink holder that I can tether so that I can just bring it along with me and I can just float and have my drink accessible.
Perfect.
It is without a doubt my happy place. I never knew how much I loved lake life. As much as I do. I did work for a family in Maine on a lake and I loved that. And in spite of some wonky dynamics that went on a few summers, I kept going back clearly because I liked that vibe. And so now all these years later, here we are. So
So you guys aren't done.
No.
I mean, there is, you know, the economy comes and goes, mm-hmm. and then a pandemic comes and goes. But this year, when we came back up this spring, there is construction going on at the point, mm-hmm. and there's more construction going up. So tell me about the evolution and where you are.
Well, it's interesting. We got our permits and started building 2005. Jim and I were the first two people to ever sleep here. First night, first cottage ever.
Wow.
We moved in. We had no screens or doors, but we moved in.
Still better than that tent thing that he didn't like.
Well, I still love the trailer, but regardless, I have a motor coach now. He, much to his chagrin, I've made up for it.
Oh.
In 2008, the crash hit. Mm-hmm. So we had just gone through phase one selling, sold out within minutes.
Wow.
We did a 1-day sale. People would have to register, pay, I think it was a $500 deposit, and you got into a line. And they went to auction and sold out phase one, built those.
How many houses was that?
Phase one, let me think about that. It was about 30, I think, wow. 35. Phase two was the next year, same thing. People were coming and looking at the show homes. They want to buy one, get on the list, get it into the auction. And then a 1-day sales event, we put up tents, you know, the horse rides, the whole kit and caboodle.
Keep the kids
airplane
busy.
Ride, food, music, the whole thing. And then we sold phase two and it sold out. And then we did the same thing in 2007 for phase three. And by the spring of 2008, what we had sold every cottage available, they started falling like flies because of the crash.
Yep.
And there's no point in trying to sue for completion. There's just, they had, you know, people had over leveraged in the day and all kinds of stuff. So we were stuck with, we finished building and had to carry, oh, I think we had about 30 extra cottages.
Wow.
Yeah. That was kind of a ouch moment.
Sure.
And then the crash hit, and anybody in business who's been in residential or resort properties knows that was all the financing for resort property was pulled in all of North America. I mean, nobody was lending money.
Yep.
And your loans were called, as were ours.
Yep.
And we managed to pay the loans back. And I think, as far as I know, we were one of the only corporate or resorts that didn't collapse.
Well,
I can't name another one. I've had a lot of people tell me about this resort and that resort that, you know, Suncadia and all of the ones in Chelan, they all collapsed.
Yep.
And here we are, 15 years later, Jim and I are still standing. We still don't have any corporate financing, but we still have managed to come through this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm most proud of the fact is that we live here. This is our home.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of developments, the developers come in, and it's sort of almost said like a bad word that they come in and they rape the land and they make their money and they leave. They make their millions and they leave. Well, we came in, we moved in, we became your neighbors or everyone's neighbors. And we still live here with the good, the bad, and the ugly that happens within a resort.
Sure.
You know, the years when, you know, the grass didn't go green or the water was high, or this year the fences need painting or something. There's always, you know, there's something we need to retop the roads or something. The HOA was formed and so on, but everything is sold. We don't build anymore the way we used to, in the fact that we don't do subdivisions and do sales. There's not that demand.
Yep.
But yes, there's more building on the point. I'm trying to think, the marina building, nine buildings going up on the point right now, all sold, one lot left.
Yep.
And
the marina is going from an Airstream, which I am obsessed with the Airstream, and I have so many ideas for the Airstream.
Oh, I love it. I found the Airstream because we went to Rosemary Beach in Florida to look at the development at Rosemary Beach because the architect that designed that was our architect.
Oh, okay.
And in the day, that resort was considered the best designed resort in North America.
Okay. Where is Rosemary?
It's in Florida. It's on the upper
West Coast,
East Coast facing the Gulf.
Okay.
And it's absolutely gorgeous.
Okay.
we went there and rented a little, we actually stayed in a coach house above the garage, the little casita above the garage. But for dinner, we went what we thought was to the main street, and it was a row of about 30 Airstreams on both sides of the road. And you just got out and parked in a parking lot, mm-hmm. and you could walk along, and everyone had its own theme. There was the fish and chip one. There was the grilled cheese sandwich. There was the Thai restaurant. There was the milkshakes only. There was the ice cream only. There was the coffee one. There was the donut one. There was every kind of food you could imagine.
Love it.
And as I said earlier, I had a tent trailer. Well, I would have killed for an Airstream.
Sure.
But couldn't afford one. I've always been a camper and love it. And I always thought, I want an Airstream. I want an Airstream. Mm-hmm. We got home here and we were at Costco in Wenatchee one day, and I saw an old Airstream in a parking lot. And I said to Jim, there's an Airstream trailer. We should buy that and turn it into the Veranda Beach Yacht Club.
It's amazing.
And that's what we did.
I love that. I love the mix of high-low.
Yeah. Like, well, we spent a fortune. Looked awful when we got it, and it was gutted so that Mercedes could go in and make a little office and yep. so on. But we hired a local fellow, and he took his palm sander with the wire brushes on it, polished it, and in the day when it was first finished, you could see your face in it. It was gorgeous.
Oh, I mean, I have so many ideas for that Airstream. So, because once the marina is built, then you don't need that. So I've got plans for it.
Oh yeah, you and me both, baby.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, we'll take this conversation off. Okay, so if people want to learn more about Veranda Beach mm-hmm. and they want to contemplate coming here to rent, where should they go? Is it verandabeachresorts.com?
www.verandabeachresort.com.
Okay.
There will be a link for properties that are for rent.
Okay.
And that's my company. It's Legend Resort Management, mm-hmm. USLTD, blah, blah. But we are the on-site property manager. And from the official Veranda Beach website, you can get to the link to rent properties and look at galleries and look at real estate and look mm-hmm. at it all. You can go on all the other websites, and there's sort of a mishmash of a couple little other small rental companies that have cottages. Mm-hmm. But if you just want to get a good sense of what does it look like, I have over 30 cottages for rent. So there's quite a gallery that you can go through and see, well, does my family need 4 bedrooms or 2 bedrooms? Do I want to be on the lake, or do I want to be up in the vineyard? Do I want a lake view, or do I want my boat in front of my house, sort of thing? Right. So,
well, and I think one of the nice things about renting through you is, you know, you can check in. There's that, you know, there's the admin office. There is the consistency. You don't have to worry about little things like the shampoos and whatever and the trash. Like, everything is, it's consistent. It's taken care of for you. On your site. Needs are met
right
on site, you know, laundry's on site, you know, everything that you could possibly need, which is really, really nice.
And if there's a problem, it's so nice to be able to go to the front desk and say, something's happened, blah, blah, blah. My internet went down, or my light bulbs blew out, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know, what should I do? We can take care of you.
Yep.
When you're dealing through an internet site, you have to communicate with somebody in Seattle or
right.
through the computer, and basically you're on your own, and they will or will not reimburse you for what happened.
Right. And, you know, having somebody on site that can take care of your needs when you're on vacation, that's the ideal scenario. You
peace of mind.
Peace
so. Of mind.
Okay. I think we're pretty much out of time. Thank you for being my guest.
You're very welcome.
I love Veranda Beach. I love what you've created, and I love that you're my friend and neighbor.
Thank you.
Can't wait to talk about the Airstream with you. Have a great week, everybody. Stay connected.